Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Man, it's good to be here. It's good to see your faces, and it's good to be in this place. This has been a long time coming, as Jake mentioned a second ago. Now, I know there's several of you here that don't know the story of how we got this place, but about 5 years ago, as we were looking around where to plant our next church, which most of us moved over here from across the river. We're part of the Crossings Church in Wentzville, and we were wanting to plant a church in Illinois. We started looking where to do that, and we landed on Collinsville because it's a strategic location between several universities. You've got this highway that runs right through here that's sort of a crossroads, and so it gives you access to a lot of different places and a fairly significant population area, just a short driving distance. And then we heard about this movie theater that popped up here. Now, anybody that grew up around Collinsville knows about the Petit Four Cinema. Just about everybody that I talk to has a story or memories or like, man, I used to grow up watching movies there. This was the only place to go watch movies, which this room right here used to be two movie theaters. There used to be a wall where these bars are. And so there was a screen here, there was a screen here, and there were two more auditoriums on the sides here. And so everybody's got these memories wrapped up, but this building came up for sale. Now, our leadership team in Wentzville was like, man, look at this facility that's up for sale in this place where we want to plant a church. It's a perfect facility. There's just one problem. We don't have any money, and it's expensive. It was a lot of money. It was several hundred thousand dollars. I think, I don't know exactly how much. I want to say it was around $500,000 they were asking for this place. It may have been a little less than that. But we didn't have that kind of money. Matter of fact, we didn't have any. And so that was sort of a problem for us. But guess who it wasn't a problem for? You're going to see a theme here. It's not a problem for God, right? No big deal. So our leadership team starts praying. And lo and behold, unbeknownst to us, we called the owners of this place that were selling and spoke to them and said, hey, we're interested in purchasing this. We've got this dream to plant this church in the future. You know, here's some of the things we're doing. We've got all these youth programs. We've got all these people coming out of the projects. We've got all these kids driving over from Ferguson. We've got all these people being counseled through sexual abuse from their childhood and all kinds of life issues. We've got divorce care. We've got a lot of people that we're helping that are hurting and a lot of good things happening. We want to take a little bit of that across the river and do something like that in Illinois. Well, we told the people that own this building that, and they're like, oh, really? Well, you know, we had thought about selling this property to a business or a corporation, but we just felt in the last couple of weeks like we really want to sell that to a church. And we were like, really? They're like, yeah. Matter of fact, we'll give you about half off just to sell it to a church because we want you guys to have it. So we're like, half off? That's awesome. There was just one problem. We still didn't have any money. And so you pray some more, and then what happens? Man, lo and behold. Remember who it's not a big deal for, right? Big deal for us, not a big deal for God. Lo and behold, there's this couple around the St. Louis area, and I want to say, I may be getting my facts wrong here, okay? I want to say they called us, and this is a different couple, right? So you got the owners of the building here, then you got this other couple, unbeknownst to us, they end up contacting us or getting in touch with us somehow, and they're like, hey, we heard about the stuff you guys are doing in the city. We read some stuff in the newspaper that was really flattering about you guys, about the stuff you're doing with kids and mentoring and helping hurting people. And, you know, we've got this retirement money that we just set aside, and we've been saving it up, and we own our own business, and we're fairly wealthy. But we put a lot of money aside for retirement, but we just feel like we need to give it to you guys for some reason. We were like, oh, really? We just happen to have a place we can spend it. And they were like, oh, where? I said, well, we got this theater down in Collinsville. We're wanting to plant a church over there and start campus ministries and do some other things. We just don't have any money. So we started praying that some money would come about. And then you guys contacted us, said, here's some money. And they're like, oh, well, why don't you go down there and get that building inspected, and if it passes inspection, we'll just buy it for you. Okay. So we call the inspectors. We have them come down here. They survey the building, inspect everything. It passes inspection. Congratulations to us. We're now the owners of this property. Okay, now this is 5 years ago. By the way, that couple wasn't Christians. We studied the Bible with them. We baptized him, we baptized her, we baptized their son. It's good, right? We own this building now. So we're like, okay, this is going to be a mess. How many of you guys came down here when this was a mess? Okay, there was a fire in here. Some guy allegedly tried to burn it down and collect some insurance money at one time. It didn't work. It was a mess. And so we come down here and start working on this place. We, as part of the purchase agreement, one of the things we worked out with the city is, hey, this is an old building. It doesn't have a fire suppression system, which that's the sprinkler system. We can purchase this, but we cannot afford to put in a fire suppression system. If we buy this, will we have to do that? The city of Collinsville told us, no, you will not. You will not have to put in a sprinkler system. You won't have to, because that's like $100,000, okay? so we're like, all right, so that was part of the purchase agreement. Once we get here, we start working on this place. We hire an architect. We get under contract with him. It was a fella in Georgia who was going to give us a lot of money off. He was a Christian. He goes to a church over there with some friends of ours. It's an elderly gentleman named Barry. And Barry started working on our plans, which when you're doing a building project, you have to have a professional architect draw up all the plans, and then you go take that and give it to the city. It's all part of the process. Barry ends up getting sick after we sign a contract with him for him to do this building. He gets cancer. And to make a long story short, Barry battled cancer for a year. He was not able to finish the plans here because he was in the hospital sick, and he ended up passing away. So there was a whole year of time that when we started over at the hotel in 2017, there was a whole year, and even leading up to that, where we were waiting on these plans that we never got. And so by the time Barry passed away, and we went and hired another architect to complete the plans here, guess what the city had done? The city of Collinsville had removed or changed some of their personnel, and when the new personnel came in, they rewrote some of the laws for the city and ordinances, and we were no longer going to be grandfathered in where we didn't have to have that fire suppression system. So now we have a building, we have an architect, he's drawing up plans, but all of the money that we had to renovate this building was now going to have to be, if we were going to use this building at all, spent on putting in the sprinkler system. So that means we had to spend all of our money that we had, which, by the way, when we planted this church, we came over from our church in Wentzville. They did a big fundraiser before they sent us over here. They sent us over here with $100,000 to renovate this building. We had that in the bank when we came here. All of that had to get spent on that fire suppression system. And we had spent some along the way, too. We had to raise some in addition. So we ended up having to purchase the sprinklers, and that left us with really nothing to work with. So we had to raise more money, and I'm not going to keep going on about this, guys, but we have, just to make a long story short, over the past 3 years, we've worked really hard over here, but we've also been the recipients of very generous contributions from people, not just here. You guys have given sacrificially, all of us. Everybody here has given sacrificially that's been part of the church, but we also have been recipients of support from the Wentzville congregation. Guys, we have been recipients of support from churches that you guys have never even heard of, that just heard about what we were doing and that sent us checks for $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 that you guys haven't even heard of. And so when I say we're glad to be in this building, this is our third year anniversary. Do you guys realize that? We started this church on the 6th of August, 2017. It was the first Sunday of the month in 2017. This is the first Sunday of the month in 2020. This is our third year anniversary, and this is our first Sunday in here. It's been a long road, but I am so thankful, and I want you guys to be thankful, and I want us all to realize the only reason we're able to be here this morning is because of the generosity that has been poured out on us from other people who believe in what we're doing and who want there to be a church here in Collinsville that is going to bring hope and healing and health to the lives of people who need it. Okay? You guys. And I just want you guys, please, whenever we interact with those others, one of the things that would be really encouraging, like when we see our folks from the Wentzville churches or from our other churches, the Interbelt Church, by the way, our other church in St. Louis, gave a ton of money to us. They gave us like, what was it? It's like a lot of money. We ended up giving some of it back. We're like, you guys gave us too much. We gave like a bunch back. Just tell them thank you next time you see them. Because we would not be here this morning if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for our friends in Wentzville, and for all the other generous contributors that have existed for us. And there's a lot of people that believe in what we're doing. So I've got three things I want to share with you this morning. That was the first one. We're very blessed to have this building, and we need to be thankful for it. Secondly, having this building presents a great opportunity, and we should take advantage of it. Now, I know a lot of us in here have been dreaming, when we get this building, about what we can do with this building. I know Ariel's going to do some fitness classes, right? She's a certified trainer. She's going to do some fitness classes. How many people can we meet in the community and make friends with through something like fitness classes? How many of you guys are going to come to Ariel's fitness classes? Okay. It's just for girls, right? All right, I got an excuse. Sweet. You know, I could see us here having teen nights. Man, how long have we wanted just a space to take the teens? To have lock-ins, to have events, to do all kinds of fun things. We finally have a place where we can take the teens. And you guys can scream and yell as loud as you want in here. As long as I'm not here. And it'll be so great. Movies. Guys, one of the things that I've really wanted to do, you guys know I love movies. Which, by the way, somebody recommended I watch VelociPastor. Is that VelociPastor. If anybody wants to come to my house and watch VelociPastor, we will watch VelociPastor and Sharknado in one sitting. It'll be great. I love movies, and this is a theater, and so one of the things we're going to do, we're getting a security system installed this next week. We don't have our really expensive, nice stuff in here yet. Some of it we haven't bought yet, but we're not going to put it in here until we have a security system. So after this next week, we're going to start building out what's going to become our permanent kind of AV setup in here. So we're going to have some really nice big projectors and a nice AV system in here eventually, which that may be incremental. We'll see. But I want to host movies in here. How many of you guys think you have friends who grew up in Collinsville watching movies in this theater who would want to come back and watch some free movies? Like, I just think that would be a cool way to meet people and make friends, and, you know, you get candy. Hey, what do you know? We've got this huge parking lot out here. You know, we've already hosted our Spooktacular, which drew a significant number of people. We've had block parties out here. We've set up the inflatables and done stuff for kids out here, which we own a bunch of inflatables. Now we got somewhere to put them and play with them and stuff. We've got a lot of things we can use that parking lot for, just to connect with people. Drive-in movie. I know somebody hosted a drive-in movie up here. I think we're going to do another one here pretty soon. It's just a cool way to meet people and make friends. We're going to build some basketball courts right over here. Yeah. We got a bunch of guys here who like playing basketball. And there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood around here who like playing basketball. We're going to put some basketball goals over here, and we're just going to have a place to bring your friends and play basketball. And it's going to be a spot where we can just, you know, we can make friends, make new friends. We're going to have Bible studies here. We're going to have men's groups here. We're going to have women's groups here. We're going to host support groups, which one of the cool things we do here at the Crossings is we've got a lot of different support groups that are specialized for people with specific hurts. Like me, I was sexually abused as a kid. It damaged me greatly, and I was not able to overcome a lot of that stuff or deal with a lot of that stuff until I encountered the Crossings. And I was able to get some counseling, and now I'm able to lead some groups that help people with that kind of stuff. We're going to be able to host those here anonymously. We're going to be able to host Healing is a Choice, which is another support group that we offer that just helps people with general life issues. We're going to be able to host Divorce Care, which is for people that have been traumatized going through the nightmare that is a divorce. We're going to be able to host some kind of recovery program, like a Celebrate Recovery or maybe some modified version of it, where we're able to help people that are struggling with addiction. And if anybody lives around here, you know what a bear that is around here especially. It's a beast, man. That's something else that I've personally struggled with is drug addiction. So I know. And I know many of you do too. So I'm really looking forward to it. Guys, we're also, we have dreams of someday building a rehabilitation center somewhere around here. And so that's going not necessarily to be housed in here. It would be housed off-site. But we're hoping someday to purchase property or a house of some kind and have a 24/7 program where we're helping women recover from drug addiction and integrate back into their families and be stable, healthy, whole children of God, like he made them to be. And so that's a dream for us. I can see this building, a lot of the activity just day to day being integrated into this. And so there's all kinds of cool things that I think are going to happen in this building over the next few years. And while the Petit Four Cinema holds a special place in the hearts of many people here in Collinsville, I really think for all of those good memories that people have here, there's much, much better things coming for this facility. I really believe that. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. It's going to be amazing, and you guys are going to get to be part of it. So I want us to be thankful that we have this place. I want us to see the opportunity that we have here. And I want you guys to start dreaming. What else? What can we do? What's feasible? But number three, here's the thing. As excited as we are, we must not let this building become a distraction. Because following Jesus is about people. It's not about property. It's about people. It's not about property. And the danger of having this building, the danger of having spent so many hours, some of you spent here working, the danger of this is we can become building-centric if we're not careful. And I just want to remind you guys, Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Seek means he went out. He went out. He didn't stay at the temple. He got out of the temple. You know that was revolutionary in his day, in the first century, for the Jews? Thousands of years, everything revolved, as far as their religious practice and their connection to God, everything revolved around the temple. Everything revolved around the temple. In Jerusalem, that's where they believe that's where the presence of God dwelt, was in that building. They literally thought that. They literally prayed toward the temple in Jerusalem. When they would get down on their knees and they would pray to God, they would make sure they were facing Jerusalem. Because that's where God lived, was in those walls. He lived in that temple. His presence was in there. They had different sections of that temple. They had the outside. They had the outer courts where the Gentiles could go. And then they had a literal line drawn on the ground and a big sign posted that said, if you cross this line, if you're not a Jew, we'll kill you. And they meant it. That was called the dividing wall of hostility. That's what it was called. If you set a toe over that as a Gentile, they could kill you. Even in the first century under Roman rule, it was okay for them to kill you if you were a Gentile and crossed that line. Gentiles, anybody that's not a Jew, once you are a Jew or if you are a Jew, you could go to the middle section of the temple. If you were a priest, you could go a little bit closer, and then inside the temple, they had a room called the Holy of Holies. They believed that was where the presence of God dwelt. There was a big curtain separating those sections. Only the high priest could go inside there to the Holy of Holies once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to perform part of the ceremonies for that day. It was through that ceremony that they believed the sins of Israel were forgiven on an annual basis. And so there was this... there's division. God is in this temple, but then there's this division. An incremental way you kind of had to approach where God's presence was. And if you weren't holy enough, if you weren't Jewish enough, if you weren't a high priest, you couldn't get close. And so that's what they taught. Matthew 27. 45 through 54. I want to just read the account of the death of Jesus. This is leading up to the crucifixion. Now, Jesus, at this point in the story, if you've never read the Gospels, he's already been arrested. He's already been tried. He's already been sentenced. He's already been flogged. He's already been made fun of and beaten and spat upon. He's already had a crown of thorns placed on his head and beaten down with a rod. He's already bloody. He's already beaten. He's already passing in and out of consciousness. He's already suffering from dehydration, blood loss, shock. He's been on the cross for some time. He is literally nailed to a cross over time, suffocating to death as his muscles tense up in his chest, and he has to painfully push up on those nails just to get a breath. This has been going on for some time. His enemies are around him, mocking him, making fun of him. His friends have abandoned him, besides John, who's there with his mother. And if you can just imagine being tortured to death in front of your mother, there's this other psychological, horrid thing that's happening. You're looking into the eyes of your loved one as your mother is having to listen to your enemies make fun of you and say all kinds of horrible things about you. And so he's there. And we're getting close to when he's going to give up his spirit. It says in 45, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again, in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. So there he passes. He dies. His spirit leaves his body. Now look at this. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You guys remember what was behind that curtain? Jews said, God is in these four walls. God is in these four walls. He's in there. You want to connect to God, you go there. You want to pray to God, you pray that way because that's where God is. And there was something to that. If you go back and read the dedication of the temple, whenever Solomon originally dedicated the temple way back in the Old Testament, He gets down on his knees, he prays, he dedicates this temple that they had built to God. Literally, the presence of God comes down from heaven in a visible form and rests on that temple. That's why they believed God was there. There was a little something to that. But guys, when Jesus went and died on the cross, this is one of those things we can read over and miss the significance because we don't know the whole story sometimes. When Jesus died on the cross, the first thing that happens is that curtain in the temple is torn. And it's not torn from bottom to top. Like people could grab it and hide. No, it's torn from top to bottom. How did they know that? Because there were people in there. And they said, "Did you just see that? Did you just see that?" It's like the hand of God just sliced that thing open. And it keeps going here. The earth shook. Now you standing there at the crucifixion and Jesus dies. You see he dies and all of a sudden the earth starts shaking. What you going to be thinking? Oops. The earth shook. The rocks split. There's an earthquake. Now it doesn't stop there. Look at this. And tombs broke open. What? Tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Did you know that was in the Bible? I don't know how many people I share this with. They're like, "What? Yeah. There was an earthquake, and then tombs broke open, and dead people came out." They're like, "I thought Jesus was the only one that rose from the dead." Nope. Jesus brought grandma back to tell you, you better follow Jesus. It's one thing if some crazy, wild-eyed dude from the desert comes out and says, "You better follow Jesus." But then when grandma comes back and starts telling me I better follow Jesus, man, maybe I should listen. You want to know why the church grew so exponentially quickly in Jerusalem? It's because grandma came back. That's why that church blew up. There's an earthquake. Bodies rise from the dead. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared to many people. Look at this, even the Romans. 54, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Now, right there, that's why Jesus came to earth. That Roman centurion right there, you want to know what he grew up believing? He grew up believing in the pantheon of Roman gods. He grew up believing in these capricious, mean, divine beings. And if you didn't sacrifice to them just right, if you didn't say just the right words, if you didn't go through the ceremonies just right, they were going to bring their wrath down on you. That's what they believed about their gods. And they believed if you didn't worship them, anything bad that happened to your people was because you didn't worship them. That's why they persecuted the Christians and the Jews like they did, because they thought they were atheists, because they didn't believe in the Roman gods. And so anytime anything bad would happen, they would say, "Well, it's their fault." So that's why they'd kill them. This guy grew up believing that. But then this happens with Jesus. He's one of the guys that's there guarding Jesus while Jesus is on the cross. Jesus dies. Earthquakes, bodies rising from the dead, a confession from a pagan who believed in false gods, who said, "I'm not going to believe in those false gods anymore," because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Just like that guy. And there's something else I don't want us to miss. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he doesn't do it in a building. The temple curtain tore. And so while it's great to have this building, while we're thankful for it, while it presents a great opportunity to connect with people, I want us as a church here in Collinsville never to forget our mission is about people, not property. So let's keep this in proper perspective. We celebrate communion every week because every week Jesus wants us to be reminded of what he did for us on the cross. And I think the reason that he died the way he did and that the plan of salvation and the plan of his coming into the world came about like it did, I think, was so that we wouldn't doubt how committed he is to us. Because, church, he's so committed to you that God made himself a human being and came in human form, the king of everything, and allowed himself to be unjustly killed when he had all the power in the world to do whatever he wanted to do. And he let himself be killed. I think he did it because he loves you. And he doesn't ever want you to forget that. And I think he wants us to take communion every week because we remember the bread represents his body that was broken. The juice represents his blood that was spilled. He wants us to remember that because I think he really deep down wants you to know you're loved by God. And if you can just really believe that you're loved by God, it's going to make all the difference in your life. It's going to change how you see yourself, other people, and how you make decisions. It's just going to change everything. That's the most important truth in the world, is that God loves you. So let's take communion this morning. We're going to take it together. I'm going to pray. We'll take it together. We're going to sing a song. And then I'm going to come back up. We're going to close out. And we'll let you guys go. Let's pray. God, thank you for today and being in this facility. Thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he gives us. Lord, you are so good to us. You bless us so kindly and richly. We pray all of this in your son's name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up today. In your bulletin, if you got a bulletin, I think we may have run out. That's my bad. I'm rusty. We haven't done this for a while. I think I didn't print enough. If you have a bulletin, though, and communication card, I think most of you do, there's a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin called a communication card. It's got some different places for you to respond. One of the things that is dangerous is whenever we look at the Word of God, to walk away unchanged, because we can get in the habit of that. And so we don't want to get in that habit, because if God is calling us to do something, or if he touches our heart in some way and we just kind of ignore that and walk away, it becomes easier to do that the next time. And so I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want to invite you to take that card out and just do a little bit of self-reflection. Are you right with God today? Is there something that you're struggling with today that you haven't talked with somebody else about? Is there something that is bothering you right now? Are you hurting in some way? Is there something that you need help with? I just invite you to think through that. One of the things that we love doing here at the Crossings is loving on one another. And I know in my own life, when I've been struggling, if I talk to somebody that I know loves me, that loves God and loves me, it makes it better. Now, sometimes they may challenge me because maybe I'm not thinking right, or they may show me a passage of scripture that deals with my situation, but it helps. Many of us in here, when we first came around to church, we were friendly to the idea of following God. We just didn't know where to start. We love it when people come here with that kind of problem. Mark on there, if that's you, I'd like a personal Bible study. And what we do with those is we get a couple of people that you know and are familiar with to get together with you, and you guys will just go through a Bible study together. And that's a lot more intimidating sounding than it actually is. What it is you open up the Bible, you look at something from God's Word, and you say, what do you think about that? And then you guys talk about it. So it's pretty non-threatening. But we'll show you some scriptures that other people have shown us that just teach you real simply how to follow God and how to become a Christian. Guys, did you know in the midst of this pandemic, we've been studying the Bible with people on Zoom, and there have been a bunch of baptisms, like, just in the last couple of months? It's been pretty cool. honestly. It's been a pretty encouraging thing. But if you're interested, we would love to just share with you and study the Bible with you. We have a lot of other stuff that's available. You guys can look that card over. But if you're here this morning seeking connection, we really want to be your friend. And we'd like to get to know you more, so please respond. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing another song. And that song, during that time, you can fill that card out. That'll give you plenty of time to do that. Then we're going to sing, are we singing one more song after that? So we'll have two songs. When you're done filling out your card, as we're leaving, you guys see back here, there are these wicker baskets, which if you could pull those to the end of the table. If you guys don't mind just putting your cards inside those baskets, normally we would pass those, but we're not going to while this pandemic's going on. We're just going to limit contact that way. Go ahead and just put them in that basket, and we'll get back to you. Somebody will get back to you later. We will keep those confidential too, by the way, so you don't have to worry about that. But I'm going to pray for us. Guys, thank you for being here. It's our first Sunday. We did not heavily promote this today, so I think we were kind of getting some of the kinks out. We will be promoting this moving forward, so there will be more people here probably next time. Please be mindful of the social distancing stuff. We want to make people comfortable, especially those guests that are coming from the community that maybe this is their first time. So just keep that in mind as we move forward. And invite your friends. We would love for them to come. But let me pray for us. Yeah? Okay. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to wrap up. God, as we get ready to fill out these communication cards today, I pray that we'll just be mindful, Lord, as thankful as we are for this building and for all the cool things that are going to happen here. We're so excited about the opportunities that are present. God, help us to keep in mind our purpose. Help us to keep in mind that your will is for us to be about people. Your will is for us to love first and foremost on people. Your presence is not limited to four walls. You tore the curtain. And God, you live within us, and you will for us to pass you along to others and your truth and your love to others. And so I just pray we can do that faithfully. Father, if there's anything that's holding us back this morning, Father, I just pray we'll seek help for that. I pray we'll seek the help of other people if that's what's needed. And most of the time it is. if we need to study the Bible, I pray that we'll do that, Lord, and that we'll seek you in whatever way we need to. But Lord, I thank you for these people and for this opportunity and this property. And God, I thank you for all the good work you're going to do ahead of time. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.